Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program 106 if you're listening by radio. Tonight I have a pastor, Pastor Mark Hornish. We did a program back a while back, program number 73. Mark, glad to have you back on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Pastor Mark described a little bit of his journey that brought him to Panama here back in, what was the month that you first arrived here?
May.
This was 2015. And Mark and I relate a lot to each other because of some of the ways that the Lord revealed and his plan for our lives beyond our comfort zone. And it began with an obedient step to leave. And I want you just to share a little bit, Mark, about what the Lord put on your heart to build the church, build the property that you built. I think I would encourage people to go back and re-listen to the program to kind of hear a little bit of the history of how the Lord brought Mark where he is. But we're going to go a little bit further and share a little bit of what God's done since you arrived in Panama. You moved here full-time, and as a pastor, to yield your flock over to another shepherd under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's really a phenomenal story, but I never knew a lot of the story until we're talking tonight of how God actually brought this all to pass with a word. And I think we can tie all this together tonight that will inspire many people of what awaits their acts of obedience. So Mark, share us a little bit about how, just maybe a brief overview again of the church that you built back in West Virginia, 120-acre property that was built on, almost like a refuge. I think you called it the City of Refuge.
That's correct. Yes, we, my wife and I have been in ministry for over 40 years. Pretty much since we've been married. But the Lord called me into ministry, and we pastored churches for about 24 years. Back in 1998, the Lord opened up the opportunity for us to start a church in Central West Virginia. And over the course of years, he began to reveal to us that he wanted that to be a city of refuge. And of course, we thought that was a spiritual city of refuge. And over time, we realized that he wanted to build something to be a refuge for people. So he provided 120 acres, and we were in the process of developing that since 2003. And around the end of 2014, the Lord began to speak to my heart about letting go of different ministries I was involved with. I had worked for a long time trying to bring pastors together in our area, and the Lord was really blessing us and showing us some purpose and some fruit out of that. Back in, I think it was 2014, the Lord showed me that, you know, I needed to start letting those things go and allowing the other pastors to do that work. I was in a jail ministry for about 8 years. The Lord said, I want you to let that go. Didn't understand why I was doing that, but little by little, it was like, you know, you need to let this go, and you need to let that go, and concentrate on what I'm calling you to do. Well, by the end of 2014, the Lord finally showed me that I needed to let go of the church, that it was my time to leave. That was very difficult. And so through a process, God took me through, and I believe we shared that the last show, I had to emotionally detach myself from what was built on the property. and realize that I couldn't keep that attachment to what was old if God was going to show me what was new. And so by April of 2015, we had set in another pastor into the church. And on the exact day, on the exact date, exactly 17 years after we founded the church sent Lindy and I to Panama. And that was not planned, because we had it scheduled for another date for the sending service, but God showed us that we needed to leave earlier, and that was the only date open. And not until after the fact that I realized that it was exact 17 years on a Sunday.
What are the chances of that happening? Just
it was not something that we planned, but it was just another confirmation that God was wanting us to release the church, and so that sending service was on August 16th, 2015. So between April and August, Lindy and I were searching out the Lord as to what in fact, where does He want us to do? Where does He want us to go?
And somehow, tell us how Panama even got on the radar to come here. What was there a word or something that Panama popped up on the radar, or did you?
Well, back in 2002, I was in a church service, another church, you know, about 30 minutes from our home, and there was a big African evangelist preaching a message, and so we had went there at the invitation of some friends of ours. In the middle of his message, he looks at me. He says, "You, I have a word for you." And of course, you're looking around wondering who he's talking about. And he said, "No, you in the white shirt." Well, I was the only one with the white shirt. And so he called me up and he began to prophesy over me. And everything that he said did not make sense at all to me. I mean, at that time, I was pastoring a church. We had just started Shiloh Fellowship back in 98, so it's only 4 years. My kids were in school. I had a business. I had probably 12 employees at the time. Lindy was teaching school, and this man started speaking to me about a worldwide ministry. And he started talking about there would be ships and boats and planes, and talked about feeding the world. And the thing that really caught my attention was the fact that, you know, that God was calling me to build worldwide teams of people, children, women, and men, and all this throughout the world. And I was just a boy from West Virginia. I was thinking, this is, you know, this doesn't seem to even make any sense whatsoever. And so one of the nations that he mentioned, he saw many nations, but he said one nation that he mentioned was Costa Rica, here in Central America. And so that always was in the back of my mind. Well, I got a tape of the message, put it in a drawer, and all the while, when we were packing up and selling things and all that, I finally found the tape. And
you had not listened to this tape since that day that you were given that message.
That's correct. And so we listened to it one time in while we were still in West Virginia, and the tape player broke. And I couldn't find another cassette player.
I guess God didn't want you to hear it that time.
And so, but I threw it in my suitcase. And I said, maybe there's a tape deck in Panama or whatever. And so, but to answer your question that you asked me, the reason why Panama came in to the radar is because of the central West Virginia or Central America aspect. And so Lindy and I had taken a trip and in May, and we went through Panama City, came up here into Cherokee Province, went on up into Costa Rica. You know, we're just seeking the Lord about what is going on. Where do you want us to go? And we really felt like the Lord was leading us here and into Boquete. So that's when we set our heart to sell all of our goods. And we left West Virginia with 4 suitcases, 4 totes, and 2 personal bags. And that's how we arrived here.
The stripped-down version of Mark Horn, version. Mark and Lindy Hornish.
Yeah, the strip makes it easier to move.
It
from
does, absolutely,
house.
Make it a lot easier. So, what's really nice is that this, I always tell people that the stripped-down version always is just the preceding version of the fruitful version.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's when the fruit begins to flow in our lives, is when we allow the Lord to strip us down. But you came here really seeking the will of the Lord for your life, but having some ideas about what he wanted you to do. And I know we sat in a room one day, we're meeting, talking about helping everybody plug into their purpose. What is on their heart? What do they want to do? And I noticed one thing that Lindy said is that, you know, we really want to host people. We would like to, people that are coming here, we'd like to be an outreach to how allow them to come and have a place to stay and have a place to fellowship, because sometimes it's difficult. You know, some people like to be alone, but some people, when they come, they would like to have some fellowship and some inspiration, some advice. And that is like a nice way to have that, is to host a family. And I know that you began to do that, but I think it set some things in motion, because it was feeding the purpose. Was you felt like this, we're plugging into our purpose, because this is something that God's put on our heart. And then you met a fellow that I interviewed last week on the program, Santiago. And part of the vision that he has is bigger than just hosting a family coming into a city. And it began to inspire you, I believe, into a bigger picture of what God has called him to do and also called you to do.
Yes.
And maybe just share a little bit about how God puts pieces together. I've seen many times like we're all pieces of a puzzle, but some of us are located on the wrong table, and we just don't fit where we are. We're on the wrong table. We're on the America table. You're supposed to be in the Costa Rica table or the Panama table or wherever. Mm-hmm. And until you get where you're supposed to be, you're not going to fit into anything, because you're just the wrong piece. And I know that the Lord said very clearly to me in a word through my pastor, was that you have to be where I tell you to be, and you have to be there when I tell you to be there. And I believe that's a part of what God's trying to do if everybody's relocating people right now, because there's a purpose where he wants you to go, almost like a piece of a puzzle has to be in place for the next piece to fit. And he's waiting on you so the other piece can fit. And so you got to get into place, get in your positions. And so knowing that God is positioning you in a particular place, I find it very interesting that when you finally allowed, when God finally allowed that tape player to finish the word that the Lord gave you back in 2002, something very interesting happened. A word was spoken on that tape, and you had no clue that word was spoken until you listened to it for the first time. Why don't you share a little bit about that? Because I think it's God will confirm his word with signs following many times. This is almost like a sign following that you are where you're supposed to be.
Well, if I could back up just a little bit, I didn't listen to that tape until after I came here.
Right.
Right.
So it had no influence on where you ended up.
No. Other than that, I knew the Central American area was where we were focusing our attention. But when we came here, we had an idea of maybe this is why the Lord's sending us here. And we were sent out of our church here. And but once you arrive at a place, you kind of begin to find out that maybe what you thought you were coming for isn't the whole picture. It's just the first step of that picture. And I like to look at Bible prophecy like I used to do maps when I was in forestry school. And we'd create these as a project. You create on a, you find a piece of property.
This is forestry school.
Yeah,
right?
You find put the boundary on the property, some base information, and you call that your base map. Okay, and then you maybe want to add to that base map like cover type trees. Maybe you want to do soil maps. Maybe you want to do it, and each one of those is a layer. Well, once you begin to build these layers and you lay them all together on top of one another and then you turn the light table on, you see the whole picture. And see, a lot of times we step out with just having base information and we don't really see the whole picture until God begins to reveal the different layers that he has in store. Mm-hmm. Really, if he told us the whole story, we'd probably never take the first step, right?
That's right.
So he has to feed us that information, but he feeds us that information on our obedience.
Yes.
So when we obey, then he reveals the next step. And when we obey that, then he reveals the next and so on and so forth until all that is shown. Or at least, I say, I know that what I see the Lord doing now in our ministry is not what I thought it was going to be when I first came here. But I have no clue what it's going to look like when it's over. But all I know is that if you're willing to take that step of obedience and you're willing to stay focused and not put out brush fires, not get your focus in this direction or that, get it on people. If you just stay focused on what you know the Lord has shown you to do,
mm-hmm.
then you just keep going in that direction. You know, it's like Jesus set his face like flint toward Jerusalem to his destiny. We have to have that same mentality.
Absolutely. This is, and Satan's going to do everything he can to distract you, get your focus on other people, like you said, or putting out brush fires. But, you know, I look at it like Tobias and Sanballat. You know, if you've been called to build a wall, rebuild a wall, that's what you do. You don't worry about all the other naysayers and complainers and whiners. Just keep building the wall. Keep doing what God told you to do. And I know this is something that you have been focused on is pursuing the will of God for yours and Lindy's life. Because, you know, when you forsake all, and you ain't turning back, you better keep your eyes focused straight ahead because the prize is ahead of you. It's not behind you. You know, the end of the race, that tape is you got to keep putting one step in front of the other to hit the tape. And many times people grow weary in well-doing, and this is something that many people fall short in. But I want you to share just a little bit of what happened. You were sitting in someone's home who had a tape player.
Yeah. Well, we finally decided to dig the tape out after we showed up. It was only within a month of when we first arrived in August. And so they happened to have a tape deck there.
And, an old ancient cassette
player. Yeah, one of those things
that
nobody understands anymore. But so we put the tape in, and what was happening with this African evangelist is when he called me up, he began to speak over me, and he would speak in tongues, and then he would interpret the tongues in English, And it would just be, it would roll. It would be like he would cycle in tongues and interpretation and all this. And that's when he was revealing about the teams of people and the worldwide impact and the ships and boats and planes and, you know, and feeding people. And he's, you know, he's laying this all out. And all of a sudden, in the middle of us listening to this, we hear the word, and this he spoke this in tongues, bokete.
Amazing.
And all four of us sat up on our chair and said, "Did you hear that?" And we played it back three or four times. But I didn't even know that was on the tape. And I think that was just God confirming to us, well, that's just another layer. I want you to know that this is the place that you've called me, that we've been called. And it's just been that same process that God has taken us through since we've been here. And so, yes.
You know, the thing I keep seeing, too, is that God not only confirms the place, but he brings the people into your path that he wants you associated with. There's divinely coordinated events and appointments that I find when people get in the right place. You know, if you're supposed to be somewhere at the right place at the right time, it's like being at an airport before your plane takes off. Because if you don't get there on time, you miss your plane. And I think this is why it's so critical. Timing is everything. Because if God's got an appointment and a destiny for you, you got to plug into it. You have to pursue. You have to leave where you are and go where he's calling you to go. Because there's an appointment waiting on you. And if you delay, you may delay that appointment, that time. Because I can tell you, just I was in tears when I came for an exploratory visit. I sat there and I was with my several people at a dinner table in Panama City. And I said, "You think I'm a..." And they all said, "I'd like to go and check out Panama as well." And I said, "Fine." And I'm sitting there and I'm in tears. And I said, "You guys think I'm a great tour guide? Everything that's happened since we've been here has been nothing I've had anything to do with. God has divinely coordinated meetings." And I mean, just to give you a touch of divinely coordinated events, I was going to go meet with a lawyer about talking about immigration, and the guy that was going to meet us there got stuck in traffic in Panama City, which is not easy, not hard to do. We were both late. I said, finally, we were on the phone. I said, I'll just see you when I get there, I guess. And literally got out of the cab, and I walked up on one side of the steps. He came up on the other. We both looked exactly the same moment in time. What are the chances of this? But this is the way everything was, just God orchestrating our timing was impeccable. But it's because we were willing to leave when he said leave and willing to do whatever he said to do once we got here. And it's being led by the Spirit. And this is where I believe most everybody needs to get to that place now. Holy Spirit, guide me, lead me, let me meet my divine appointments. We began to pray in the morning, just God, lead us where we're supposed to be. Put the people in our path. And this is what I see right now, is that many of the people that you've met have been divinely coordinated events. You said you went with Santiago, and you said to Costa Rica, the first meeting that you went to go visit some pastors, and you said it was unbelievably, you were in tears that when you got back, you couldn't even describe what happened to you,
right?
How God orchestrated the events there.
Well, you know, that was a divine appointment. And we, when we went to Costa Rica, the Lord did orchestrate all that. But the thing that was significant to me was the fact that we went to Costa Rica. It was the first trip I ever took to really begin to connect with pastors, which was the only town or only country that was mentioned specifically in that prophecy. Because I was always wondering, okay, why Boquete? Why are we here in Panama? You know, he only named one nation, Costa Rica. And then the Lord showed me that that was the first place that I was going to go. That was going to be the place we were going to sow the first seeds of the vision, was going to be there. And so, you know, we have learned that to obey God means that you're not going to please everybody. You're not going to please your family. You're not going to please your friends. Your pastor friends aren't going to understand. They're going to question, your motives and why you're doing this and why you're doing that. But there's one thing that was set in our heart from the very beginning before we ever moved to Panama, and that was this: we were not coming here for ourselves. We were coming here for others.
That is so key. That's the only way I believe you're going to find truly God's destiny for any one of our lives, is that you got to be doing it not for yourself. But you, in fact, the Lord made it very clear to me when I got here. He said, you're not here for your purpose. You're here for mine. He said, just as you didn't create yourself, neither could you deliver yourself. You're delivered for my purpose and not your own. And he was just giving my marching orders that we are here for God's purpose. And that purpose is for souls. It's for other people. It's not for our own life. If we love our neighbors ourselves, we need to be thinking about our neighbor in such a way.
Well, you know, as a surveyor, I used to mark a lot of boundary line after we set the corners. And the purpose of those markings was to guide people, to let them know where the boundaries were so they could follow what we did. And I think that's what the Lord's doing here. We are preparing a place for the unprepared. We are making a way for others. And whatever that's going to look like in the end is up to God. All we're going to do is keep following that vision. That's our commitment.
Well, the Lord said to me, he said, your obedience will pave the way for many. And I didn't know what that looked like, because this, when we first got here, what does that look like? And now, as time goes on, you begin to understand the vision that God had for us to come is for others that will follow our obedience. And so if you're listening right now and you're just kind of questioning right now about your own life, where does God want me to be? What does he want me to do? Well, I think if you'll look for that answer amongst a heart that has God's heart, that you're looking out for others' interests and not just your own, to God, help me fulfill my purpose for your purpose. I want to be in your will, the center of your will. And I believe if people will ask and cry out to God with all their heart to be right in the center of God's will, not in his permissive will, but his perfect will, where does he want me to be? When does he want me to be there? What does he want me to do? God will lead you and guide you into that place. You're a great example of that, Mark. Thank you so much for your testimony, and appreciate you being on the program tonight.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Mark, thanks again. And again, you're listening to Strength for the Journey. And our website is strength4thejourney.com. And we'll see you next time. I will.